And now, it's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Yes, indeed. A very good morning to you. It is 4 minutes past nine on this Thursday, the 5th of June, 2025. You're very welcome along to the 9 till noon show here live on Highland Radio. The lines are open for you right now if you want to get involved in the conversation, anything we're talking about today, or indeed start your own conversation. We WhatsApp and text, or you WhatsApp and text us on 086 60 25000, 086 60 25000. You can give us a call to on 074 91 25000, or if you want to email, it's comments@highlandradio.com. And don't forget, if you want to watch today's show, which is coming live from the grand opening of Donegal Horizon's new base in Letterkenny, well, you can hop on, if you're at home, to YouTube and watch us on your smart TV or your Fire Stick. We're across Facebook as well, on our Facebook pages, and at Highland Radio on X. And also, there's a watch live button on the website too. You can click and watch in browser as well. So no excuse not to consume the show either with your ears or your eyes today. We've got loads of guests joining us here at the Exchange. It is located at Grand Central Letterkenny, which is just up the road from the Radisson, or opposite Marks and Spencer's. It's in that space there. There's a lovely gym next to us here as well, of course. And the official opening is from 10 o'clock here. The doors will be open, and the motto of Horizons, Donegal Horizons, is opening doors, opening minds, and we'll sort of hopefully inform you as to how they do that over the course of the next 3 hours, as well as keeping you, of course, up to date with all the usual news, views and opinions. Lots of you messaged in yesterday. We didn't quite get to all of them, so we'll catch up on those as the morning progresses. Let's have a look at the newspaper, and they focus on a story we covered on the show yesterday as well. This is the Dairy People Donegal News. The Kearlock of Letterkenny Milford Municipal District Council has called on the perpetrators of a wave of Gaza-related graffiti around the town to show restraint and have a think about what they are doing, as it could be counterproductive. Councillor Jerry McMonagall's comments come following a weekend that saw many residents being shocked on Sunday morning to discover the numerous acts of graffiti had emerged overnight on hoardings and on the back of road signs around the town. Meanwhile, early on Sunday morning, at least 31 Palestinians were killed and hundreds more were injured while heading to an Israeli-controlled aid distribution site. So, of course, we sampled the views of the great public of the Northwest on this yesterday. It was a mixed bag. Some people were like saying, you know, you think that's bad. Well, can you only imagine what the people of Gaza are going through? Others saying that they are incredibly sympathetic to what's happening in the Middle East, but this is not the way forward. And others suggesting that, you know, it doesn't really achieve anything other than perhaps maybe ruin Letterkenny's chances in the tidy towns. So it's one of those. It's a toughie. If you want to express your views on that, you can, of course, still do so. 086 60 25000. On to the Dairy News this morning. Lack of Protestant housing executive employees highlighted. The underrepresentation of Protestants working in one of Derry's housing executive offices has been highlighted. East Derry MP Gregory Campbell said there is a massive imbalance in the number of Protestants working for the housing executive compared with Catholics. Mr. Campbell said he has written to both the Housing Executive and the Equality Commission to see what action they intend to take to remedy the massive imbalance. Let's go to the Nationals now. And lots in them, as always, of course. We'll start with the Irish Independent, and they say that the state's paying up to €180,000 per year for every single family in emergency accommodation, new figures have revealed. Housing families who need four bedrooms in emergency accommodation can cost up to €180,000, while housing families who need three bedrooms can cost up to €140,000. With hundreds of families living in emergency accommodation for more than 2 years, the cumulative costs for housing one family adds up to the price of a home. The figures showing the cost of emergency accommodation to the state were revealed for the first time by the Dublin Regional Homeless Executive following a request by Sinn Féin TD Owen O'Brien. There are more than 400 families in emergency accommodation who need properties with over three or four bedrooms. That's a huge amount of money, isn't it? €180,000. I mean, you know, if people need housing, they need housing, but is that good value for the taxpayer? I do wonder, because it costs far less, of course, to, you know, you or I, to be in one of those houses. So where's the money going? on to the Irish Times, and this is a story that's going to affect some people listening to this show. There's no doubt about that. Half of fathers who do not live with their children see their babies and toddlers several times a week, but contact becomes less frequent as children begin going to school, an economic and social research institute study has found. It prompted calls from the ESRI to include non-resident fathers in research on children's lives to provide a comprehensive picture. Using data from the longitude study Growing Up in Ireland, which tracks different cohorts of children, households that experienced parental separation during the study were found to be more disadvantaged. Fathers in particular tending to have lower educational levels, higher levels of unemployment and greater financial difficulties, while mothers tended to be younger, had lower levels of education and were more likely to live in an urban area. Some 14% of children aged between 9 months and 5 years do not live full-time with their fathers, rising to 18% by 9 years of age, while just over a quarter of non-resident fathers have little to no contact with their children at each age examined. Half see their babies or toddlers several times a week, according to reports. I'm not sure if that's because of sort of fathers backing out of their responsibilities or other things playing a factor. I'm sure it's both. The Irish Daily Mail this morning. Killer Richard Satchwell was yesterday branded a master manipulator who showed his wife's dog more respect than the woman he murdered. He was, as he was sentenced to life in prison, the Central Criminal Court was also told that Satchwell, who has 14 previous convictions, intends to appeal against last week's unanimous jury verdict convicting him of Tina Satchwell's murder. And he seems something of a control freak, and even in asking his solicitor to talk of the wife he was found to have murdered, he did so almost in a way that seemed to be encroaching on continuing the control that he liked to exercise. Tina's half-sister, Lorraine Howard, said in her victim impact statement, and I have to just go inside the newspaper to cover that, she said that Satchwell had treated her sibling's body with such disrespect. The appalling way my sister was buried, wrapped in plastic, buried beneath soil and concrete, put shivers down my spine every time I think about it, Miss Howard said. And they were very clear, the family, in using her maiden name to reclaim the maiden name, because obviously she's been known as Tina Satchwell, and you can understand why they would no longer want that association, especially with the person found to be responsible for her murder. The Irish Farmers Journal this morning. Despite the Minister for Agriculture, Martin Hayden, committing to having all outstanding acres payments cleared by the end of June, Irish Farmers Journal analysis reveals that over 30 million has still to be issued to farmers for 24. The figure includes almost 16.5 million in advanced payments still to be made to acres general farmers, as well as a further 8.6 million to those on the acres cooperation stream. On to the Star this morning. I'm sure you've been tracking this story. A worker at Loch Derg who duped unsuspected women into helping him at the retreat so he could assault them sexually has been jailed for 4 years. Thomas Gallagher preyed on five female victims by asking them to help him fix washing machines and tumble dryers during a series of terrifying instances at the retreat in County Donegal. But instead of helping the workman, the women found themselves being assaulted by the 42-year-old. Details of the plans hatched by Gallagher were outlined before Letterkenny Circuit Court last week. I'm sure many of you watched on RT last night the excellent programme in exposing what's going on in at least some nursing homes. I didn't get to see it myself for reasons outside of my control, but I will be watching it back. But I have seen clips, I've heard clips, and it is absolutely shocking. If you have a comment on it, or if you watched it, or anything you want to say in relation to that sector, please get in touch with us. But the findings of a new RTE probe into two nursing homes run by Ireland's top provider has been branded institutional abuse. Undercover footage shows residents crying for help, left in soiled clothes and being incorrectly handled. The two homes in question are the Residence Portlaoise and the Ben Nevin Manor in Glasnevin in Dublin. Both are run by Emmaus Ireland, who have apologised for the failings. And what it does, though, it makes you wonder, Is this just two places that they just happened to inspect and to find these issues? Is it more widespread? I think until everyone can be assured that this is not happening anywhere, there's always going to be concerns that it could be happening everywhere. We'll see if we can get some reaction to that later on in the show. And women taking so-called weight loss injections have been warned that they may affect how well contraceptive works. So just keep this in mind. This is in the Irish Daily Mirror. The Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency says it has had 40 reports relating to pregnancy in jab users. The MHRA also said anyone getting pregnant while on treatment, such as Ozempic, Mounjaro, Wegovy, Saxenda, etc., should stop. A spokesperson explained, this is because there is not enough safety data to know whether taking the medicine could cause harm to the baby. All right, that was a run through some of the newspapers this morning. In fact, all that we have access to. We are broadcasting live today from the grand opening of Donegal Horizons, opening doors and opening minds. And we're going to be speaking to two people very heavily associated with the great work that's been done here after we take a break. But stay right where you are. And you tune to the 9 till noon show here in Highland Radio for this Thursday. And we are broadcasting live from Donegal Horizons. It's the grand opening of their wonderful facility here in Letterkenny. It is beside the Radisson Hotel. It's at the Grand Central. And the official opening is from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Everyone welcome to call in, I hope, because I've said it a few times now. Right, I'm joined by Anne Ramsey, who's the co-manager of this centre. Anne, how are you getting on?
I'm good, thank you, Greg.
Thanks so much for having us. It's great to be here.
Thank you for coming here too. We really appreciate it.
So this is the official opening, but you've been operating in this building for a few months now, haven't you?
We have. We actually we have been in Letterkenny since 2014.
Okay, cool.
It actually feels a wee bit surreal because it feels like yesterday when we will welcome visitors into Port House at that stage when five trainees, adults with an intellectual disability, were referred to our services. Port House was good in the sense that we had small numbers that served its purpose, but as our numbers grew, and obviously we wanted to provide more activities, more opportunities for our client group, we needed to identify bigger premises, and we have been so fortunate to identify and refurbish this building. So we moved in here just before Christmas time, and today is our grand opening.
And it is a wonderful building, isn't it? Even from the front door right into this space. So what kind of rooms are available here? Where, are we sitting in, you know, the centre of the centre, or what's going on?
Okay. Before we renovated it, there was two units, which obviously we worked very closely with the architect in terms of the layout design, in terms of what activities, what programmes we could provide to our trainees. In terms of the layout, the area we're in here is our kitchen. It's our real hub area in terms of catering training opportunities that we provide. There's a breakout area here as well. As you progress through the building, we do have a number of training rooms. We have an IT suite. We have a sensory room as well. We have a sports and leisure room as well for our trainees then to relax into. So what is really wonderful about the building is everything is here within, you know, the square footage of the building, and its proximity is very central in Letterkenny, which will give the organisation the opportunity to grow and build and provide additional activities and opportunities to our clients.
And there's a consistency of the service, isn't it? You know, it's not a half an hour here or there, two or three days a month, like you hear Monday to Friday, 9 till 5. And what's the demographic of your trainees?
Okay. In terms of the organisation itself, now we have been operating in County Donegal for quite a while in terms of the range of programmes that we do deliver. We currently have 56 young adults in our services. Their ages would range between 18 and 48, who would avail of their own person-centred HSE-funded programmes, either on a part-time or a full-time basis from Monday to Friday.
And how do people engage with it? Are they, you know, how do people, like, so you say you've got 56 at the moment. Are you at capacity? Are you always inviting new people to come? How do people come to know and avail of the services here?
Okay. We work very closely with HSE. So if you can imagine, in terms of any young adult with an intellectual disability, when they're referred to the organisation, their needs are assessed and a suitable training programme and vocational path is mapped out through a person-centred planning approach with community inclusion at the fore. So each of our young individuals, in terms of their programmes, we work very closely with their trainees, identifying their goals, their aspirations, their wishes, and based on their ability. They work very closely with their assigned key worker in terms of access and opportunities and activities in the local community.
And how important then is it to give people opportunities now outside of this, that in other words you can avail of your training, you can use your skills that you learn, or maybe the confidence that you acquire sort of, you know, in the wild, so to speak, you know, in local community groups or businesses or what have you. Is there good cooperation in the wider community with your trainees?
Wonderful, wonderful inclusion, and I know Seamus will probably want to speak about that, but disability awareness and inclusion is constantly supported by Donegal Horizons. And I suppose when you think of it as well, it's really the benefits to the actual community in terms of where our centres are based. We do have a base in Carndonagh, which services the Inishowen Peninsula area, and now here in Letterkenny Grand Central. So in terms of where our trainees reside, it's the opportunities that the community obviously benefit from the real meaningful contribution that our trainees make in their own local community.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously you're based in Letterkenny, but do you have trainees coming from outside of the immediate catchment?
It's the greater Letterkenny area where our catchment area is in Letterkenny.
Yeah.
We do, I think the furthest away is probably Castle Finn, Shims. Yeah, okay. I'm trying to think of the geographical area.
It's all
area.
About the practicalities, I suppose. And then, of course, Carndonagh servicing much of Inishowen.
Yeah.
I mean, I want you to bed in here, right? But is this a project that can grow even further? Maybe, yeah. Or maybe there's you don't want to duplicate services in certain areas. But, you know, where would you love to go next?
Literally, what we'd like to do now that we've moved into this building here, we want to grow in the range of activities.
Now, who left their phone on? Sorry, I'm only joking. It's fine. We play fast and loose here. It's okay. And sorry, go on. What are you going to say?
Okay. In terms of where we are in Letterkenny, what is so wonderful about this building is that because of the size of the building, the opportunities, the activities for our trainees and our staff team can grow. So in terms of the organisation, we will have the opportunity now to continue to grow and offer more activities and more opportunities for our client group.
So is there scope then maybe for people from, you know, I don't know in terms of travel or transport, right? I don't know if that would be provided by the likes of yourselves or if there's a role within the HSE or what have you. But is that an area potentially that could make it more accessible for people outside of the Letterkenny catchment, the greater Letterkenny area?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And funny you say that there. In terms of the holistic development, as it were, of any of our trainees that are referred to our services, travel training is one of the key topics that we do deliver. Because if you can imagine, for the likes of yourself, being able to get out and about is quite simplistic. But for somebody with an intellectual disability, that life skill has never been provided before. So in terms of travel training, how to utilise public transport, you know, in terms of crossing the road, who to contact, in the case of emergency.
True independence, true freedom, you know, I mean, and that really expands as well, doesn't it?
It really does,
All right, stay where you are. Seamus Friel is a senior co-worker at Donegal Horizons. Good to see you again, Seamus. How are you keeping?
All good. Thanks for having us.
Last time I was speaking to you, you were getting ready to get stripped to the waist and dance around the stage of the Mount Errol. Or were you going to get stripped to the waist? I can't quite remember.
I didn't get stripped, no, but it was an eventful night.
That was, by the way, in case you might remember, it was a couple of months ago, I think now, we had Seamus and a few other participants in Stars in Their Eyes Lip Sync Battle. A huge success. Was it good fun too, I'd imagine?
Massive success. It was an association with Northwest 10K, and we just wanted to do a big event for our guys to showcase their abilities and just have a bit of fun at the same time, and they definitely did do that there.
And, you know, I focused a little bit with Anne about sort of, you know, working in the community or business, you know, working opportunities in business and what have you. But it's multifaceted. It is the getting up on stage and the performing stuff as well. There's a strong connection with local sports as well, which is really good, I think.
Yeah, we're massively involved in some of the places around here. Like Finn Harps, for instance, I got in contact with them maybe about 2 years ago. And I said, you know, there's probably not enough out there for people with disabilities, and especially adults. There's a lot of inclusion now on underage, but not so much in adulthood. And we came up with a plan then that we would go together, and we done a camp together, and it was hugely successful. And then I also contacted the FAA, and now we are the biggest in Ireland for disability service splits, which we're having another one now on Tuesday. We are the biggest probably by double in Ireland on that there. We had the last splits we had was, I think there was about 165 participants. Yeah. So it's massive to be involved in the likes of the FAA and Finn Harps, and we're also involved with Donegal GAA too, and we've done a massive camp last summer, and we're hoping to do the same this summer again.
Yeah, well, I think there's great advantages in those sporting organisations and any organisations actually being involved, because it would be very easy to approach this and think that, you know, it's they that are doing, you know, not a favour, but that are, yeah. But I mean, there's a great benefit to any organisation, any group, any sporting body to, you know, work with different people.
Of course, you know? And it's been hugely successful for the clubs that have been involved with us. And, you know, we're not just doing it for our trainees, we're doing it for all disability services, adult services in and around. We have ones coming from Tubbergador, Ballyshannon, all them centres up around there, still coming to Letterkenny for our blitzes and our camps. And Letterkenny Rovers, we actually work with Letterkenny Rovers too, and they give us the pitch and all that there for free of charge.
Fantastic stuff. A couple of special guests today, of course. We're here. We're special, right?
Of course.
Who else?
Well, Sean Patton is coming.
Well, he's been named. Yeah. Are you sure he's not going to send a sub?
Well, hopefully.
He's been doing hopefully that a not. Bit. He's been doing that a bit lately, hasn't he?
Kieran Thompson's coming. Jody McFadden's coming from the ladies team, and Emer Geller, or Freely, she's coming too.
I hope Sean's coming after 12, isn't he? Anne, talk to me about the official opening.
Okay, in terms of the official opening, basically what we're hoping today is, as Seamus says, we do have a number of very special guests, including yourselves here as well. Today really is an opportunity in terms of all, as you said earlier, everyone is welcome to drop in, view the premises, see what we do have to offer in terms of the range of programs that we do deliver. And it's an opportunity of everybody as well, a chance to network and get to know people as well. Surrounded buildings, the proximity is great as well. Mm. It's very, very central to different businesses, different organisations in the town. So hopefully today should be a nice day.
Yeah, and I think one of the reasons why I thought it important we come down here as well is because it's very important for people to know what's going on in the community, what is happening, that this wonderful building has been repurposed the way it has been, that it, you know, works with so many younger people, people not so long young as well, and is so integrated to and continue to build that integration into the business world, into the community world, of course, into the sporting world. You know, it's fantastic, the stuff that goes on. Seamus, what's your day-to-day stuff as a senior worker here? Because it is 5 days, isn't it?
Yeah, it's 5 days. And we have a timetable which is up on the wall there. We kind of do different activities every day. We would go through different classes. Like, we could do cooking, we do walking club, we do sports, we do life skills. Everything kind of comes in under the umbrella. And if any trainee would like to kind of broaden our horizons a wee bit, we can we're there to help them with that there too.
Brilliant. Man, it's so quiet in here. I'm not used to this here, right? Everyone, you don't have to be so well behaved, okay? This is a happy, busy working place. I want to feel that.
You may regret saying that.
No, I won't regret it. That's why we're here. Anything goes with me, right? Okay. That's brilliant. Seamus, anything else that you want to add? Because, you know, you're here at the Coalface as well. And I'm trying to get a dig into it a little bit, but I don't want to miss something, you know. What else do you want to say about...
Well, it's just where we are. We're situated in a great location.
No
here.
One told me about that car park there.
Well, it's usually full, so the gym takes over that there.
Good stuff.
But in fairness, we're really involved with the likes of Grafters next door to us, and they give us room there for free of charge and stuff like that there.
Brilliant.
So
well,
a lot of business around here already know us, and we try to do community placements in some of the places around here, and we probably would like to do a bit more of that there. Mm. And that's we're going to be going around now over the summer trying to get more placements around Letterkenny.
They can come to you. Listen,
of course, yeah.
And you know, I talked about the benefits of it, you know, from a sports club's perspective, but from a business perspective as well, there's great opportunity there. And so it's an open invitation, is it then, between 10 and 12, Sean Patton, Kieran Thompson, who else did you mention was coming down?
Councillor Donald Mandy Kelly.
Donald Mandy Kelly's going to be here.
Jody McFadden,
that's the name that escaped me. And there seems to be plenty of tea and coffee and goodies as well. And come down, have a look around. If you're a business owner in the area, maybe you're representing the Letterkenny Chamber and you think you can come in here and explore maybe something with your members, if that's not happening already. Everyone's invited. Is that right, Anne?
Absolutely, yes. Everybody, open house today for everyone.
And how do you fund this amazing work that you do, by the way?
Okay. We are funded by the HSE.
Excellent. Okay, HSE. Well done, HSE. Yeah. All right, good stuff. Brilliant. Thanks very much. Is there anything else you wanted to add, Anne?
No,
that's
thank
good.
You for your time and
well,
from the organisation. Great to have you here.
No, it's fantastic to be here. Okay, as you've just heard, Anne Ramsey, co-manager here, reference. We are live from the Donegal Horizons. It's the grand opening. We are at the Grand Central. It's just across from M&S, is it? I can't afford to shop in there. It's M&S, yes. And also up the road from the Radisson Hotel. Right, more guests on the way, but just to catch up on some of your comments coming in so far this morning. Hi, Greg, just caught up with your show in the early hours. As always, business meeting all evening. Thank you. Charles Ward's proposals of replacing a Mica house without demolishing the existing one first could be fraught with problems and taken advantage of. When I started off in construction over 40 years ago, we were building a lot of council houses on people's own land. To qualify, the house these people lived in had to be condemned by the council and supposedly demolished when they moved into the new one. However, on moving into the new house, the old one was subsequently refurbished and other family relatives moved into it. A few years later, they qualified for a council house too. I get where you're coming from, but it's not a proposal from Charles Ward. It's a proposal from the entire movement, and it has progressed as a recommendation from the housing minister, which is good news. The qualifying criteria is going to be incredibly tight. They made very clear to use specific language in that it will be in very, very rare occasions. No follow-up studies or statistics collected to why non-resident fathers do not see children, says the listener. No statistics or studies on parental alienation, often a cause on this. No statistics or studies on domestic abuse against men since 2005. Piers Doherty asked questions on this in 2015, and no change. No major studies on suicide and why four times as many men die this way. Do we see a pattern of men and fathers do not matter? A caller says the RTE Investigates programme on last night was a horror show. Well, sorry, a horror story, they say. But sad thing is that it's happening to poor, civil, elderly people. My heart went out to them, and it's just absolutely heartbreaking. The RTE Investigates programme says another last night about two nursing homes in Ireland and their treatment of the elderly was very distressing. You could not watch it without crying. And I heard clips of an older gentleman who needed assistance, let me say, in the middle of the night, calling out and how that must have felt when those calls went unanswered. A proud man, I'm sure he was as well, but let down by that institution. On graffiti around Letterkenny, those slogans are criminal damage. How is it happening in Letterkenny in view of high volume of Gardaí on the beat in our big town? Well, listen, the tagging or graffiti artists often know what they are doing and how to avoid It didn't take long. Look, it's spray paint writing. It's not going to take very long, is it? Another caller then says, really, are we worried about our chances in the tidy towns while innocent people are being murdered by Israel? Well, that's it, you see. That's why the conversation is such a divisive one. 086 60 25,000, that's the WhatsApp and text number if you wish to give us a contact that way. If you want to call us, it's 07491 25,000, or you can email comments at highlandradio.com. We'll have more guests on the 9 till noon show after we take a quick break. Okay, you're very welcome back to Thursday's 9 till noon show. I'm joined on the telephone line now by Kathy. Kathy, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Right. Yes, Kathy, can you hear me okay?
I can, yeah.
Kathy, tell us your story, and it centres on your daughter who has severe dyslexia, and I think you feel that you've been let down by the system.
Yeah, because she was lost through the system over the years, and when it was finally picked up, she was an adult at this stage, but still been given the same standardised test as a 12, 13-year-old, which obviously, you know, at an adult, she just about passed it. And but there's still, that's the only test that's considered. They won't consider a private HSE psychologist test, which showed a more accurate result and was more age-appropriate for her. And three times she applied and got denied just days before the exams, which is very stressful. You know, they're stressful enough times without putting that added stress on them.
And
you know, I just
what
think
impact
it needs
has
to be changed. I know the whole system is under review at the minute, but the government won't put a review date on it for this very, it's under review for this reason, because the test is just a standardised test regardless what age you're at.
Yeah, so as an 18-year-old, she did a test that was designed for 12-year-olds. It's not very nuanced, is it?
No, no. And like now she has to go into her exams with what I was told is like, it's people were complaining because it's not fair that they would be going into an exam with an advantage, but they're now going into an exam with a disadvantage of something like 7% that they will lose automatically because of the dyslexia through spelling and grammar.
Now, obviously, this is having an impact on her, and we'll focus on that more in a little bit. But, I mean, as parents or as a parent, you know, you're doing everything you can through grinds or what have you and the expense of all of that to give her the best opportunities. So it affects it affects not just sort of the emotions as well. I mean, you're trying your best to do the best for her.
I mean, it's too late for her now, but I just wanted to highlight this for other children in the future. You know, that things have to change, and it's not fair to put that pressure on if children are looking for help, and if they're continuously looking for help, they should be given it. There shouldn't be barriers put up in place on them.
So just to be clear, I mean, you were seeking this test since when, and what reasons were you being given for her not getting this test?
Well, initially, when she was at primary school, we were just told the resources weren't there to fund the test, and even if we funded it ourselves, they wouldn't have the resources in place to help her. Then when she did go to secondary school, they did realise that she had issues, and they did take her out and help her, but still no test. And then COVID hit, and everything was in the back burner with COVID. A lot of people fell through the cracks, and it wasn't picked up again then until fifth year, because she did transition year. And so fifth year then, it was picked up, and the school, in fairness, the school was very good, and they gave her a lot of help. But she still just about passed this test at 18 years old, which denied her the help that she needed in the actual exams. She got all the help she needed in the school. The school were fantastic. But what she needed in the actual exams, she couldn't get.
Yeah, and that means she heads into those exams without that support on the day.
Yeah.
More stressed, as you said already, stressful enough time without this further anxiety.
Yeah, and it's just, I know it's too late for her now, but I just wanted to highlight this for other people in the same, and there's not, we're not the only ones in this position, there's a lot more. And it's just that for people to fight, and we need to keep fighting to get this review pushed through the government, that for them to put an actual date on it, because they're not putting a date on it.
All right, Cathy, listen, best of luck in difficult circumstances to your daughter. Thank you very much for your time. Evelyn is also discussing this topic with me. Evelyn, what's your input? Good morning to you, by the way.
My input would be I found the education system very supportive. I did fight for it at the start, but I knew from a young age that she was dyslexic. I went to Smart Education. That only cost like 30 or 40 euro to get her assessed at the time, where I did change her school, where I found a school that would give the resource to her with this private dyslexic assessment until she got the psychological one. And yes, COVID did slow it down, but they didn't slow her down. They did continue to, you know, support her. Now, there was a lot of tears. It might have took an hour and a half some nights with, you know, with homework. Maybe the next morning we'd had to get up a bit earlier. I do think parents, it can't just be all on the teachers or the state when it comes to educating your kids. We have to put that input also in, which also I do think my other son, he's dyslexic, so it's become easier.
Mm. I think it can be hit and miss too, though, Evelyn.
It can be maybe hit and miss.
In terms of where you are, who you engage with, you know, it's...
Yeah, well, I went through different schools to see where I could get the resource from, and that's how I picked the school. Also, the secondary school, so she got her laptop, and, you know, and but now she's of the, like, kind of not wanting to take the resource now because she's 13, 14, and... You know, it's embarrassing. But and that, as a general, I found it quite supportive.
Okay, listen, Evelyn, thank you very much for that. It's good to hear all sides, and I do appreciate your time. Take care, Evelyn. We're also joined... thanks, Evelyn. We're also joined on the programme by Mary T. Sweeney. Mary T., good morning to you. What's your take on this?
Greg, I speak of it not just from a political point of view, from a personal point of view as well, which is why I responded on the post this morning.
Appreciate it.
I'm delighted to hear any mother getting support on the Highland Radio about the parents having to spend 200 euros getting additional supports after school for their child to try and maintain and get through the school system. And I know I've come across so many parents in that position, but the whole system that we have in place, it shouldn't be sporadic. It shouldn't be regional. It shouldn't be where you live. It should be child-centred, about the educational needs of each individual child.
And where do you think that drive needs to come from? Is it from the schools? I mean, they're the ever-presence all over the place, aren't they? Is it principals and teachers that maybe have the role here?
There is a lack come back where they identify the need for equality, educational equality, for across and inclusion across the system, because now with the change in vocabulary in relation to what's considered a neurodivergent condition, there's no one size fits all, and many of these conditions are comorbid. And you know, when the most after the parent, the most important person is the primary school teacher, and they're not being listened to because the resources are not being put in place for them to access immediately when they identify a need. And when I did teacher training, and I'm sure it didn't change since, the formative years were 0 to 7, Greg. And we really need to get back in those formative years and put additional resources in place for the educational needs of our children. I happened to see a programme advertisement on TV within the last 3 days. It flashed through my screen. I'm sure some others saw it. And it mentioned briefly about an upcoming interview that over 50% of young people in jails at the moment have dyslexia.
Mm.
Frustration is what I would feel with people that I, my own family, and with my one of my own children, wasn't diagnosed. He was 21 in third level, but the work that went into getting him to third level was beyond the natural workload that a parent should have to put up with, because of the lack of support and because of the fact that there's so few NEPS assessments at early intervention.
And yeah, and as you mentioned there too, Mary T, as you mentioned there too, you know, obviously it's about your academic progress, but I mean, it's a hidden disability, can be unseen, but very stressful for obviously the child, how they progress, how they interact, you know, social skills, and what's carried then forward into adulthood. You know, we really need to get a handle on that as soon as possible.
100%. And the people that are not really being listened to, in my opinion, are the parents and the teachers. When I canvassed in an election 4.5, 5 years ago, whatever it was now, I remember, and I mentioned this a way back, that there were two cases that particularly influenced me and upset me. One was in Milford Mart and one was Carndonagh Mart. And that was each occasion saw fathers crying because their children couldn't get assessments in their schools. Now, there were two specific examples. I have my own family members that have been through the nose trying to get assessment recently. It seems to appear to be a growing problem. We're not doing enough to accommodate that growing problem. The quality of education is paramount for children between 0 to 7 to get them on a learning pattern that they will work with, whether it's the need to coloured paper, whether they need coloured glasses. I introduced all those into my own family home, which did help alleviate. But even though he was diagnosed, he had slipped through the net at 8 years of age.
Yeah.
It wasn't until he was 21 and he was told he was quite proficiently, you know, he scored very high on the scheme when he went to third level.
Yeah, I get you.
You know, so this should be a marker. Now, I know we brought in that Epson Act to try and identify it. That has not been fully implemented. And, you know, the unfortunate thing about it is that we need the teachers as advocates. They don't need this pressure. But they're the only resource or route that we have, because the Department of Education is not doing enough, and there's not enough financial resources being put into the schools with special needs assistance, with additional supports for the teachers, and you cannot continue to have large classrooms with a high number of children that either have any of the neurodivergent disorders.
Okay, Mary T, thanks for your time this morning. I do appreciate it, Mary T. Thank you very much.
Good luck to all the junior cert and the leaving cert students.
Here. Okay. Thank you so very much, Mary T. Take care. Claire says, it's an actual joke. We done a private assessment for dyslexia too, and I need to get assistant technology for secondary school to help with exams. I needed an occupational therapist report for this privately. It was over €650 for the report that was last year. Lucky mine's only in the first year, but I kept having to push and follow up on this so they will receive help for the junior cert. If they know the child is dyslexic, why don't they just give them the support they need is beyond me. Just let them struggling on. This is causing major upset in our kids, damaging their mental health as they think they're too stupid or not good enough at school. Is it any wonder children are dropping out? Disgraceful that we're constantly made to jump through hoops to support our young people who are trying to better themselves by sitting exams. And if you do get help without the reports, you will not be allowed to use it in the state exams. So it's catch 22. That doesn't seem to make sense at all, does it? More comments in relation to that. Right, I'll come back to that in a moment, actually. Oh, yeah, here we go. Having a diagnosis is not a prerequisite to getting an accommodation in the state examinations. I know this is very frustrating for parents, but schools have to follow the very strict criteria laid out by the Department of Education. If a reader or speller, spelling grammar waiver is denied, the pupil's scores simply weren't low enough to qualify. The purpose of accommodation is to level the playing fields, not to provide any advantages. This is definitely however, much about this system that needs reform and change. For example, we are one of a few European countries that doesn't allow additional time for dyslexic pupils. The parents should take heart that there will be more supports in third level and allowances during exams. But I suppose at that point, maybe the situation has been Some might say the damage has been done. Okay, we'll be back with more here live from the beautiful surrounds of Donegal Horizons here in Letterkenny. We're at the grand opening, and the grand opening is at 10, and it runs until 12. So if you are about, please do call in, say hello, see the work that they do, see the wonderful facilities, and meet some of the trainees. Lots of trainees in here this morning as well, which is great to see. In relation to graffiti supporting the people of Gaza that's popping up around Tricani at the moment, lots of you messaging in relation to that. A caller says, really, are we worried about our chances in the tidy towns while innocent people are being murdered by Israel? But another, these slogans are criminal damage. How is it happening in Letterkenny? I think I may have read both of those a little earlier on. In relation to the RTE Investigates show on the care homes, a caller says the people in charge of these care homes should be jailed for cruelty that would ensure it never happens again. We are broadcasting, as I mentioned, live from Horizons, watching online from Dublin. Good morning to you for the grand opening of Donegal Horizons. Donegal Horizons is a fantastic centre. It's a fantastic centre, and great to see it getting the spotlight they deserve. My brother joined last summer, and his progression over the last 12 months has been amazing. Very proud of Joey and all the service users there, indeed. And it's great to be here highlighting what they're doing. And there's a nice buzz here now. Don't forget, we are here for the grand opening. We're located at the Grand Central in Letterkenny. There's refreshments and special guests too on the day. The launch taking place at 10 and running to 12 noon. So if you're in and around Letterkenny, please call in, say hello, meet the wonderful people working here, and also the trainees. Okay, back after the news and obituary notices.